Hi there folks, Paul here signing in for another YouTube update. Hello, welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me. We're continuing on our series of videos that I do for our men's group here in my local church. We do a monthly men's breakfast. We get together once a month for some fellowship. We get a feast and also get to feed on the Word of God as well. And so this month, we're continuing on a theme, a series from last month. Last month, the theme was Send Me. This month, we're going a little bit deeper, Prepare the Way. So I want to dig into some scripture today and use a few pictures and word analogies as well, just to expand and explain on these things, preparing the way. And what does that mean, of course, for us? This is what we need to find out. So I'm going to ask if you would please grab your Bible, jump in, join in with me and follow along. We're in Philippians chapter 2, if we look here in the scripture, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, I'll just jump in now, catch up when you can. From verse 5, Paul writing here, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men." Verse 8, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Wow, what a section of scripture. This is probably in my top five of I just love how this explains who Jesus is for us. But before we begin, I'd like to just paint a quick picture if I can. Here now as I record this, we're coming up soon to Christmas. And of course, I thought about that. And growing up for me, Christmas was, well, I wasn't in a religious family. But we understood, because you would see pictures of Christmas, the manger scene. You'd see it on cards, Christmas cards that you fill out. For those who did the lights, you can see it even now. Pictures of the little manger scene in some places. And we grew up with this. And if you would just take a moment for me now, please, to think about that picture. Jesus coming as a baby, baby Jesus, wrapped in the swaddling cloth. And there you can see Mary, of course, and Joseph. In my mind, in my picture, I always have a few animals, a couple of sheep, whatever else might be around. We can see the shepherds who have come from nearby, and of course there are the three wise men who've come from afar. And we see them with the light from the star shining through the window. Baby Jesus in the manger. But if you look carefully also at that picture, you will see the shadow of a cross. Because it's important for us as Christians, as followers of Christ, to understand this very important thing. Jesus came as a man, yes, as a baby who grew into a man, yes, but he was born for one purpose, and one purpose only, and that was to die on a cross for your sins and for mine, to pay a price that we could not pay. He paid the debt for our sin, which the wages of sin are death, and he paid that for you and he paid that for me. And that was the point and that was the whole purpose for which he was born. As we read through this, we need to understand this very important thing. Jesus always was, Jesus always is, and Jesus always will be. I'm reminded of the scripture in Revelation chapter 4, where we have the living creatures around the throne in worship. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And as we look here at Philippians chapter 2, I wish I had time to really dig into it, to spend some time and expand with you the true depth of wonder and the mystery that is explained here in these scriptures. I don't for the time and purpose of this video, but for those of us who are local, I'd love to sit down with you, have coffee, spend an hour with you and expand this for you line by line, because I promise you, if you are seeking to grow closer to Christ, to learn more of Him, if you are seeking this, I promise you that if we were to spend an hour together, have a coffee and go through this section of Scripture, your walk of faith would be changed forever. But for now, I must limit myself for time to just four different points. Let's have a quick look at them. The first one is in verse 5, Philippians 2, 5. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. Let this mind. What mind? Well, he's referring to what came before. Talking about getting rid of selfish ambition. Talking about getting rid of conceit, I focus. But, verse 3, in lowliness of mind, let each of us esteem the other better than himself. This is what he's talking about. Let this mind be in you. Verse 4, let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Because as is explained there in verses 5 through 11, that's what Jesus did for us. So he writes and he prays almost, let this mind be in you. And that is the first point, that we are to be, as he was, servants, doing for others, esteeming them better than ourselves. None of this pompous, high and mighty lordship, leadership that we see, sadly, in so many places in the modern church. No, not for us, not for you, not for me. Humble, like he was, a servant. Second point in verse 7, but he made himself of no reputation. Now understand, just quickly in verse 6, Jesus being in the form of God. Yes, Jesus, God, always was, always is, always will be. Jesus being God. It is a mystery. It is the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. It is a mystery. How all separate but all one. But here we see, being in the form of God, he made himself. This is a choice that was made. He made himself of no reputation. Simply meaning from the Greek, he emptied himself of that power, of that prestige, of that position. And it says it here in the Greek twice, which we know makes it important. He emptied himself and took on the form of a bond servant. Now, depending on the translation, what you're reading, it may say servant, it may say slave. I like the New King James, bond servant, because the difference between a bond servant and a normal servant, the bond servant is there by choice, his choice. There wasn't some vote in heaven, the Father, you know, and the Holy Spirit, hey, we vote, you go. No. This was a willingness to come. And point 3, verse 8, he found, and being found then as in appearance as a man. I love that. Being found in appearance as a man. God, found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death at the cross. Imagine this. God exalted above all, being born into this finite body as a baby and then growing into a man and humbling himself to death on a cross, the worst of the worst of how it could possibly be. Fourth point, I've got to throw this one in. No, verse 9, therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Now listen closely, folks. If you're studying Scripture, if you're one who wants to study Scripture, note the therefore. Because every time we see a therefore in Scripture, it takes everything that was written previously and encapsulates it into a single point. Therefore, everything that I've already said here, says Paul, because of this, God has highly exalted him, who? Jesus, and given him the name which is above every name. Why? Because of what he did. Because he humbled himself for you and for me. He did this. He did this for us, folks, so that we could enter back into a relationship with him. Now, I have here tape measure. And on the Saturday, this will be set out. And it'll be set out at 6 meters. And at 6 meters, I'm going to use the example of saying, I want you to understand this history of the Bible. 6 meters. The Bible isn't the history of the world. It's just not. It's the history of God's people and his relationship and his dealings with them. And if we take 6 meters and each year represents, sorry, each millimeter represents 1 year, we see from Scripture, from Adam to now, about 6,000 years of recorded history. Now, as we go through this, and I'm not going to be able to obviously illustrate it here on camera well, we have here at the very beginning, you know, around there is Adam, somewhere in that first little spot just there. There is Adam. And if we move through to the 1 meter mark, and there we go, 5 millimeters. So just there it is. We have Noah. We have the flood coming. And Joseph, well, he's all the way over here. Remember Joseph? He's at 2 meters and 31 millimeters. See, Joseph here, of course, he was sold into slavery, into Egypt. And yet without such, we know now with hindsight, of course, a tremendous testimony of faith to us, not knowing what was going on for the 15 years he spent in and out of prison, not knowing what was going on, he, of course, was still obedient and faithful. And then God used him to save, well, the children of Israel, the 12 tribes, of course, which Jesus came from. So important. We see on there King David and so on. We see Jesus around the 4 meter mark. And at that 4 meter mark, then 33 millimeters later, on this 6 meter stand, 33 millimeters later, we see his death on the cross. And then we see us all the way over here. I can't even open it up this far in this office that I'm in at the moment. We see us at six meters and 24 millimeters, give or take a few years, millimeters either side. I'm reminded, of course, now, John chapter 1, verse 1. You may be familiar with this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. And then in verse 14 of John chapter 1, it says, then the Word became flesh. Jesus is that Word. Always is, always was, always will be. Now, on the timeline, and again, I can't show you properly here on the video, but with Jesus, entwined there in Jesus, half a millimeter earlier from his birth was John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist was sent, of course, to prepare the way for Jesus. Matthew, in Matthew chapter 3, wrote of John the Baptist, saying, for this is he of whom it was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And quoting the prophet Isaiah from some, you know, 800 years before Christ, 700-800 years before Christ. Matthew also quoting Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus speaking of John the Baptist said, but who did you go to see? Talking to the crowd. Who did you go to see? A prophet? Yes. But I say to you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written. And he quotes from Malachi. Now, chapter 3, he says, behold, I send my messenger before you, who will prepare your way before you. Malachi's on here too, 500 years or so before Jesus. John the Baptist, He had but one job, and that was to prepare the way for Jesus, the Messiah. If you're watching this within the next week or two from when I've recorded it, you will remember, of course, just happened. We had an election. Well, we didn't. America had an election, the U.S. election, and the new president, of course. Now, what happens now? Well, the team will go in, the security will go in before January for the inauguration, and they will what? Prepare the way. They will prepare the way for the new president to come into place. This is what John the Baptist was doing, preparing the way along there. And the thing about that is, though, you've got to be fully committed. And you see from Scripture, John the Baptist, he was fully committed to doing the will of God. Well, see, here's the key, folks. Here's the key. We too, you, me, we too are called to prepare the way. I thought about quoting this one, but I think it's actually worthwhile reading. If you will, open your Bible, flick over a few pages backwards to Matthew chapter 11. Now, I just read that section where Jesus said, who do you expect to see? A prophet? Yes, more than a prophet. The very next verse, verse 11 of Matthew chapter 11, Jesus continues, says, assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there is not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But, listen to this, he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Oh, that gives you food for thought, doesn't it? And if you remember what we call the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, Jesus speaking just before he ascended to heaven, speaking to his disciples, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That Great Commission, that's what we now have been given to do. Why? To prepare the way. For what? The coming of the King, the second coming of Christ. That's what we now are called to do. I want to read a story to you. Oh, it's so beautiful. It takes about 5 minutes for me to read this, but it's just magical. I don't want to miss a moment of it. It's about a pastor, Francis Dixon. I looked all of this up. I checked it up online. I'm just reading here from my tablet. I verified this story. It's wonderful. Have a listen to this. Pastor Francis Dixon served at Lansdowne Baptist Church in Bournemouth, England. One evening at the church, a man named Peter shared his testimony. This is how I came to faith, Peter said. I was walking down George Street in Sydney, Australia. That's probably why it caught my eye. When suddenly this little old man with grey hair stepped out at me, he said, excuse me, sir, I ask you a question. I hope it won't offend you, but if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? The Bible says it will either be in heaven or hell. And he handed me a tract and said, would you just consider that? And with that, he walked away. Now, I'd never been confronted with such a question. It lingered in my mind. And then once back in London, I sought out a pastor and eventually I became a Christian. Several weeks later, during a revival at the church, Noel, one of the visiting ministers, shared his testimony. He said, this is how I came to know Christ. I was walking down George Street in Sydney, Australia, when suddenly a little old grey-haired man approached me. He said, excuse me, sir, may I ask you a question? If you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? And his words, that they troubled me. So much so that I sought out a friend who was a Christian and was led to my faith in Christ. Several months later, Pastor Dixon, the original pastor, he was actually visiting a church in Australia, in Adelaide, as a guest preacher. And there he shared about how these two British men, Peter and Noel, had each come to the Lord, accepting the gospel because of the same street preacher, George Street, Sydney. And then this man jumped up in the congregation, waving his hands, exclaimed, hey, I'm another one. The same thing happened to me. I couldn't get his words out of my mind, and I became a follower of Jesus because of it. Pastor Dixon then continued on his mission work, traveled to another city here in Australia, and he led a revival meeting at that church, and he shared once more, have now three different people had received the gospel because of this same street preacher somewhere on George Street in Sydney. And after a meeting, one of the elders of the church came up to him and said, you know, I'm one of them too. No one had ever asked me that question before, but later I prayed and I accepted Christ. On returning to England, Pastor Dixon then shared the story of now four different people had accepted the gospel and come to faith because of that same street preacher. After he finished, a young woman approached him and said, "Pastor Dixon, I'm another. That man said the same things to me, and later I became a believer." It was a number of weeks later that Pastor Dixon was attending a conference, Northern England this time. Once again, he shared the story of this incredible street preacher. And afterwards, a man approached him and said, "I'm one of them too. I was on a business trip to Sydney when this irritating, very persistent old man stepped out of a shop doorway, handed me a pamphlet and said, 'Excuse me, sir, are you saved? If you die tonight, are you going to heaven?' I tried to tell him, 'Hey, I'm actually an elder in my church.' But he wouldn't listen and he kept persisting. When I got home, I told my pastor about it and he shared with me a concern that he'd had for years that I didn't have a true relationship with Jesus. He was right. That's when I made Jesus my Lord and my Savior. A year later, Pastor Dixon, he undertook a worldwide crusade, and while encouraging Christians, this time in India, to evangelize, he shared the story of this street preacher as an example. And afterwards, you guessed it, a missionary approached him and said, "I'm another." It happened the same way for me, and soon later I came to faith, trusting in Christ. Following, he was in India. He traveled then to Jamaica, where he shared the story with a group of pastors. One of the pastors, can you believe it? "Yes, I'm another. The exact same thing happened to me." Later, I was converted and then went on to seminary, Bible college. Next week, he was in Atlanta in Georgia speaking at a naval chaplain's convention. And after the convention, the chaplain general took him out for dinner. The general shared his testimony how once he had been an alcoholic, and he said, "One day I got off a bus, George Street, Sydney, blind drunk. And then a man jumped out in front of me, shoved a pamphlet in my hand and said, 'Sailor, are you saved? If you die tonight, are you going to go to heaven?' And the fear of God hit me instantly. I was shocked sober. And so I ran all the way back to the ship. The next day I sought out the chaplain who led me to Christ. And under his guidance, I began preparing for ministry. Now I'm responsible for over 1,000 chaplains." The next time that Pastor Dixon was in Sydney, he reached out to a friend of his and he shared the story of this street preacher and asked his friend, Chuck, he said, "Do you know the man?" "Oh, yes. Everybody knows him," he replied. That's Frank Jenner. Though he's very old now, I believe he's in hospital, confined to his bed." So Chuck then took Pastor Dixon to visit Mr. Jenner in the hospital. And as the pastor recounted stories to him of all the people he had met who'd been saved through his evangelism, Mr. Jenner began to weep. Pastor Dixon asked, what's wrong? Mr. Jenner then said, "When I came to Christ, I promised him I would share the gospel to at least 10 people every single day. Oh, I faced so much rejection. But there were some who courteously took those tracts. In over 40 years of doing this, sir, I've never heard of a single person being saved until now." And he passed away 2 weeks later. Folks, I look at this timeline of events. We're on here at 6,024. We don't know when the Lord is going to return. We don't know. No man knows. But truth be told, all of the signs, not some this time, but all of the signs are indeed leading to very, very, very soon. We, like John the Baptist, are called to prepare the way of our Lord. We are to prepare the way and to let people know that our Savior, that the Messiah, the King is coming. this means for you and me that we must live out our faith in a true and authentic way, according to the Bible. Not according to man's ways, and let me say this clearly, not according to the modern church. No. Your teaching must come from here. Yes, of course, listen to the man up front, but then go back and study. Study. We need to be praying for boldness. We need to be praying for boldness that we might witness to others. And then we must seek opportunities to share God's love and encourage and lift up our brothers and our sisters in Christ. I pray for you that you would let your actions reflect what Jesus has done in your life. I look at someone whose life has not changed and their manner of living is still the same, and I go, you don't understand Christ. You've not got it. You may believe up here, but it's not in here, and that relationship is not there, just like we heard from one of those examples. I pray for you that you would understand this and all that God has done for you, that you might have relationship with Him, that relationship which was lost way back in the beginning with Adam and sin, and with sin came death, and the relationship was broken, sin separating us from God. You are on here somewhere too. You have a beginning and you have an end, and it may be just millimeters, it may be centimeters. But in that time, you have opportunity, God has given you opportunity to help Him, to serve Him, to submit yours to Him, and prepare the way for the coming of the King. We must proclaim the gospel, both in our manner of living and the words in which we speak. And let me just share this quick testimony as a cutting reminder. A number of years ago, I posted a scripture, I think it was on Facebook, and a friend messaged me privately and said, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Wow, I would have never known." What a horrible thing to have someone say. I ask you the question, would your family, would your workmates, would your neighbors know and say, "Oh yes, that's John, that's Chris, that's Mark, that's Peter, yes, he's the Christian, he's got God." They might say it in jest, but would they say it? My friends didn't say that about me at one time. I realized the error of my ways. Final encouragement. Folks, keep watch. Keep watch. Somewhere here, I genuinely believe soon, somewhere here, our Lord and our Savior, our King, will return. I want you to keep watch, knowing that the one who came once as a baby in a manger will someday, I believe soon, return as a king. And we see here in Scripture, and we read there in Philippians chapter 2, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and those under the earth. This is a time of judgment, and Jesus will be recognized as Lord. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If you're watching this and you do not yet know Jesus as your Lord, meaning you do submit to Him and His will, not just, "Oh, I believe." If you do not yet have that personal relationship with Him through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we need to talk. You'll find the answers in here, yes, but I can point you to them and then pray with you that the Lord reveal himself to you in such an intimate and personal way that you will then see, as he prayed to the Father, that just as he was one with the Father, that we too could be one with him. This is what I pray. I pray that for you. All right, folks, God bless. May the Lord do a miracle in your life this coming month, I pray, by revealing himself to you in a deeper and more beautiful way than ever before. God bless. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.